Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, search teams are racing against time to find this tourist submersible that went missing on Sunday during a dive to the Titanic wreck. Five people are on board, including a father and son and British businessman and explorer Hamish Harding, when contact was lost about an hour and 45 minutes into the dive. There are concerns that the submersible may only have emergency supplies of oxygen up to 70 hours. Now, Stockton Rush is founder of Ocean Gate, the company leading the expedition and one of the people who is on board that missing submersible. Here is Stockton Rush speaking to the BBC Travel Show on board that vessel last year.
I like to tell people this is not your grandfather's submarine. It's got one button. And that's it. Yeah, so we run the sub with this game controller. It's made by Logitech, but it's basically a Sony PlayStation style controller. If you want to go forward, you press forward. If you want to go back, you press back. You want to turn to the left, it's like that. You want to turn to the right, you turn to the right.
So that's Stockton Rush. He is on board with the others. And with the latest on this, I'm joined by Ryan Cook, who's CBC reporter in Newfoundland, and also Captain Nick Sloan, salvage master with Resolve Marine and president of the International Salvage Union. But Ryan, to you first, what exactly is this Titan sub? It's not the same as a submarine, a submersible, is it?
Yeah, so there's quite a difference between a submarine and a submersible. A submarine has the ability to propel itself from port to port. A submersible is towed out to sea and then has propellers to basically let it go up and down to reach the ocean floor. In this case, we believe the Titan has four small propellers that help it go all the way down to the Titanic, which is at a depth of about 3,800 meters of water. And then, as you heard Mr. Rush say, in that introduction there, it operates with what's basically an off-brand PlayStation controller, which is one of our reporters went on board just a few months ago. And that was one of the key parts of his coverage was about this controller, how this, you know, $15 controller is essentially maneuvering this vessel at such a depth in such a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm. And people might have heard this morning that if once you go into this submersible, you are sealed in with 17 bolts. So one of the rescue crew or one of the people coordinating the mission to try and rescue the people on board was saying that even if they manage to come up to the surface, they're going to need an outside crew to get them out of that thing.
Yes, and coming up to the surface, even on a trip that goes well, it's a process that takes about 2.5 hours. You think about the pressure at that depth in the ocean. There's only a handful of vessels on Earth that can take people down that far. So it's going to be quite a logistical challenge.
And the company Ocean Gate, and we heard Stockton Rush earlier speaking, this company offers Titanic dives for people who are willing to pay for the trip, and it's a substantial fee.
Yes, $250,000 US per ticket. So definitely a substantial fee, not something that the average person can afford. They're an American company and they started with this idea in 2009. And they basically compared it to privatizing space travel. You think about the space rush recently with Amazon and Virgin and others. Much the same idea here. And they ran into all kinds of troubles getting started, getting the regulatory approvals that were necessary to operate out of Canada. And the first passenger dive was in, I believe, 2021. And yeah, at a tremendous cost. So we've seen, you know, some pretty established business people were among the passengers for the first few crews, and this one is no different. We know Hamish Harding, the British billionaire, was one of the passengers. We believe Paul-Henri Nargillet, a French explorer, basically, who was part of actually the first expedition to visit the Titanic wreckage in 1987. This morning, we're learning that Shahzada and Suleiman Dawood, Pakistani nationals, who we understand live in the UK, and the fifth person, as you mentioned, would be the pilot from Ocean Gate, who we believe is Stockton Rush.
Okay, and that's the father and son. They're the Pakistani nationals who are living in the UK.
That's correct.
They're on board. So tell me a little bit about the search and rescue operation that's underway now, Ryan. What's happening?
So we're expecting this morning that search efforts are going to ramp up. Overnight, we saw a local vessel, the Polar Prince, which is actually the vessel that towed the submersible out to sea, and a U.S. Air National Guard plane. They were doing surface searches overnight, and they're asking all commercial vessels in the area to keep watch. So we're actually tracking this morning a few commercial vessels that are headed out that way, and one that's already in the area right now, kind of opposite the Polar Prince. And we're also kind of expecting the technology to ramp up today, and we're not exactly sure what that's going to look like, but we know the U.S. Coast Guard is leading the charge on this instead of the Canadian Coast Guard, even though it is a little closer to Canada. And that could be, you know, just because the U.S. has superior technology and experience when it comes to these sorts of subsea searches. I think about, you know, the search for MH370, the downed Malaysian aircraft, and the U.S.'s role in searching the ocean floor for that. And, you know, of course, the concern will be how quickly we can get the equipment to that remote area in the North Atlantic. And the clock, as you mentioned, is ticking.
Yes. So I said there were about, we believe, 70 hours worth of oxygen left. Is that about right? What are you hearing on that front?
So yesterday, when we heard from the U.S. Coast Guard, yesterday at about 6 p.m. our time, they had said that their estimate would be that they had between 70 and the full 96 hours of life support capacity at that time. Of course, we don't know when the submersible would have dipped into that emergency supply. We don't know exactly when things went wrong or how they went wrong. So I guess best estimates now would place that emergency capacity expiring sometime between Thursday and Friday.
Ryan, we will keep in touch with you if there are any developments. Ryan Cook, CBC reporter. And I mentioned that we also have Captain Nick Sloan with us, an expert in this area, a salvage master with Resolve Marine. Nick, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us again. Now, we can only imagine, but you know, how difficult and how complex a search and rescue mission like this one is.
Yeah, good day, Claire. And obviously, very sad to hear about this, you know, with the Titan being lost from either communication systems. We were involved in the recovery of SA Helderberg, which was a Boeing a jumbo in 1987 and 4,900 meters. And that took months of search and rescue, and then eventually located the debris field and recovered the black box. But obviously here, time is ticking. There's very few vessels that can get down to that depth. So obviously, 1 hour, 45 minutes into the dive is when they lost communication. And at that time, they were still descending roughly, 1,200 meters an hour. So they must have been approaching, 2.5 kilometers, 3 kilometers of water depth at that stage, which is intense pressure. Mm-hmm. They have a fail-safe system on board, which, alerts them, and it's meant to blow the ballast tanks and they surface. But as you mentioned, they are trapped inside, and this submersible is actually really small. If you look at a 20-foot shipping container, that's about the size of what we're talking about here. So to try and identify it from the air is also going to be really difficult.
And how are they viewed amongst your community, these submersibles?
So most of the interventions that we do would be with saturation diving, and the use of submersibles is really a more expensive option than the submersibles. But to 50 meters, 350 meters, 400 meters, there is a use. Doing something extremely deep like this is on the extreme side of the spectrum. And obviously, high adrenaline tourist, it's a fascinating objective to actually witness the Titanic firsthand. So I think everyone would have a fantasy for that. But to actually go down to that depth, obviously, you are pushing all the limits. Mm-hmm. And they had a battery failure last year. And of course, everything runs on batteries, the four thrusters and all the communications.
So OceanGate had a battery failure last year, did they?
Yeah, so normally they dive in June because that's the weather window that they carry out these operations, and they do two or three dives per year. We believe that they've missed a bit of the weather this year, and this was going to be the only one for this expedition because of the weather. So, they've started the dive, and obviously something's gone wrong with the communication system. Hopefully they are on the surface and they can be found and released from the capsule.
Is that what you think is most likely, that they might be on the surface somewhere?
Well, it has a fail-safe, they call it real-time health monitoring system on board, which monitors all parts of the submersible and gives a graph to the pilot and alerts him if things are not going correctly. And then he can abort, and it's designed to surface automatically. But these things glide through the water. It's got a tail on it, so it will glide, and it could be several miles away from the mothership, from the Polar Prince, by the time she gets to the surface, and drifting, very difficult to find. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny cigar-shaped 20-foot container.
It sounds deeply claustrophobic when we hear descriptions of being inside that submersible.
Yeah. So they do some training, and I think you have to pass tests, and especially claustrophobia is certainly, you don't want to go down if you have any fear of claustrophobia.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the high pressure. The lower you go, the higher it gets. What is that like?
Well, it's intense pressure. So we were using pinger locators to try and find the black box. And the first set that we used, when we got to 1.5 kilometers, 1,500 meters of water depth, the actual water pressure imploded the pinger locator. And then we had to go and get U.S. Navy equipment, which could actually go deeper. So you're talking about hundreds of bars of pressure at 3,600 meters. It's 360 bars of pressure, or 360 times the atmospheric pressure that you experience, which is extreme pressure.
Mm-hmm. I have a message here from a listener who says, surely this sub must have some sort of transponder that is beeping away and revealing its position.
Correct. So during the dive, they have this ping every 15 minutes, and that keeps them in communication. It's got what they call a spurt of information that comes back, and it gives all the vital signs of the submersible. And that's what they lost at after 1 hour, 40 minutes in the dive. They lost this pinger with the spurts of information. And obviously, that's when the alarms go off.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the weather window in order for them to go and do this tourism dive, does the same apply to the rescue effort?
Yes, definitely. You've got to launch and recover these. So you need close inshore. You can use a lighter vessel, but this is 800 miles off Cape Cod and 450 miles south of Newfoundland. So the weather up there, you're always going to have the North Atlantic conditions. And even in a force 4, force 5, which is not abnormal, as soon as you get white water breaking on the waves, this being extremely difficult to recover or even identify. So I was looking for a needle in a haystack at this point in time.
Nick, thank you very much for explaining all of that to us. Captain Nick Sloan there, and we'll keep an eye on that story. Any developments, of course, we'll bring them to you. Right now, though, we'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.